Today's topic talks about the biggest people who influenced you, or the two most important people, rather, who influenced you, who gave you and taught you everything about life. You know who I'm referring to? Your parents. If I go back into my childhood, or even before my childhood, when I was being born, that love that my mother and father had for each other created me. I was the last born. I came into this world with love. I came into this world with a sense of purpose. I came into this world with a sense of pride. I came into this world with knowledge, wisdom. Where did I get that from? My late parents. And you're going to say, oh, well, we know that. All of you have to understand something. When you go to school to learn, you don't learn about life. You don't learn about how to make a mistake and pick yourself up from that mistake and do it again. You don't learn about failure. You don't learn about any of that stuff. The things that you learn in school, you can't apply them to the real world. You know why? Because everything that you learn in school happened, for instance, history, 100 years ago. You're learning about things that happened. Now, we weren't there. We weren't born at that time. How do we know that all of this happened? Because the teacher is telling us, we're reading it from a textbook? We don't know, right? Most of the things that we were taught in school, we're not going to apply to the real world. Education, I think, is outdated. I think nowadays, with so much technology and so many ways you can learn things, and it's called life, living life, going through life experiences, going through crisis and obstacle. You deal with that every single day on a daily basis. Every single day, all of us go through a crisis or obstacle that we have to learn how to face. But before we come to that, we think, well, where do we learn? Or we had the best teachers in our life, our parents. Why? But our parents have, if you look, well, for my parents, we'll give you an example. So my parents grew up in the Great Depression. I've mentioned that many times, and they did. They grew up in the Great Depression. Their whole childhood and whatever they learned from their own parents was minimal. What do I mean? Well, their education only went to the sixth grade. And there was an earthquake in the area that they lived in. The earthquake destroyed the school completely, destroyed the homes that they were living in, and they lived in a tent. Can you imagine going through life living in a tent? Imagine that. And ask yourself, could I have survived that? Yes. But I could guarantee you, their childhood, or wasn't even much of a child because they had to grow up very quickly. My mother became a young mother, a second mother to her own siblings because she helped out my grandmother. My grandmother couldn't do it by herself. There's no way a woman who didn't have a job, who didn't have some type of a career path to take care of five children along with herself in the Great Depression. If you ask yourself this question, if you can go back to that time, because that time was very grim. And again, you learned about it in school. I learned it firsthand from my parents because they were the product of a Great Depression. And it's very sad to say it like that. You were the product of a Great Depression. No, you're a people. You're people who were born into the Great Depression. But you managed to survive it. You managed to get through it. And you're here to talk about it. They had told me stories of their life. It wasn't very pleasant. They got by with what they had. Imagine trying to share. You want to send you, say you had five children in the family, so you were the oldest, and you had this food item or something that you needed to share. You couldn't have it for yourself. You had to share with everybody, but you had to make sure that you didn't waste it. Think about it in those terms. They had to be careful with what they had. They had to share as a family should. Because when you have five children, not one child has something that they own of their own. They had to share it with their siblings. And I look at the pictures of how they grew up. I look at my father and I see that, again, sad little face. The face that, well, he's trying not to show tears. He's not trying to show any type of emotion, but you could see in his eyes there was pain. When every time I look at him, I'm like, oh my God. My father was the second oldest of four, and He had to take care of his family, just like my mother did. And they both have that in common, but the one thing they both shared as they got older is the love they had for each other. Because again, you ask yourself, what is important in life? Money? Yeah, well, we need money. Yeah, we need money to live on. We need money to survive. We need money to pay our bills and to keep our children in school and to have a roof overhead. Yeah, that's important. You know what I see? I see a lot of people that never had gotten into those circumstances and doesn't know what it's like to be poor, has no idea, will take that money that they do have and go out and buy things with it. Let's be honest here. When you go out to the store, let's say, let's go into the mall, and you see something you want to get, but you know deep down inside, I can't do it. Why? I have bills to pay. If you have a family, you have to think about of your husband and your children. You know, when am I going to get my next paycheck so I can pay the bills and I can go to the store for groceries? You got to think of all that stuff. But no, you're in the store, you're by yourself, you're thinking, hey, I'm going to go out, I'm just going to buy one thing. One thing turns to two things, three things, and before you know it, you've bought everything you've bought, and you went through to every store, and you've gotten all of this stuff. And then you feel guilty. Now the guilt's going to come at you, and you say to yourself, do I really need all of this? I could have taken that money that I had and used it for something worthwhile, something of need, food, right? Food for your family. Because you got to think, what am I going to make for dinner for them? What are they going to eat? We can't eat the same thing over and over again, although I don't see a lot of people do that. As myself, who does not have children and is not married yet, I'm trying to find something to eat. Because I know that my significant other, he worries about me. And I said, well, I worry about you. You can't go without food. You need food to survive. Oh, well, I'm drinking water. Yeah, water, but you have to have food with it. So I've been trying to not eat anything that's bad for me. I've been trying to have more salads, eating more fruits. Right now I had to make something because I haven't really eaten in a while. And the foods that I have been eating, you wouldn't really call it food. It was just whatever I could find. But the point is, when we talk about money and we talk about families, we talk about you as an individual. When you have your first paycheck, what's the first thing you do with it? If you were smart, you take that paycheck, whatever, however much money you make, you put it aside for the bills that you need to pay, and whatever you have left over, don't go out and take that money and spend it. Put it in a savings account and watch it grow. $20, $30, $40, whatever you could put, it will grow over time. Now is a perfect time because of the way things are in the world and inflation is so high and interest rates have gone up. Now is a perfect time to save. Right now, the worst thing to do is have credit card debt. I myself have credit card debt. I'll admit that to all of you. And you're going to get credit card debt. Now, in some parts of the world, they don't pay with credit card. They have cash. If you're lucky enough to have cash with you, I don't carry cash with me, and if I do carry cash with me, it's not a large amount. You want to know something? And a lot of people have asked, what was the largest amount of money you ever got in your lifetime? The largest amount of money I got in my lifetime? Well, the only thing that I ever had that I did get in my lifetime was a $100 bill. That's it. I never got anything higher than a $100 bill. Never. I'm not talking about hundreds like where you break it down in 20s. No. $100 bill, a physical $100 bill. And you think to yourself, wow. And I said, I've never seen anything higher than 100. Now, if I had a large sum of money, first of all, I won't carry cash with me because that's dangerous, number one. Number two, where are you going to put cash? Well, most people put it in the bank. And if they have valuables, they put it in a safe deposit box or vault. I don't want to do that. What happens if the bank gets robbed? And all those valuables that are in your safe deposit box are gone. Think about that. Nowhere can you put anything that is something of value to you that you're going to entrust it to someone else. And then something happens where, hey, the place where you put your most precious valuables is gone. Because the bank didn't take those protective measures to keep that property that you own safe, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to take it out of the bank and you're going to put it somewhere else. I've seen people who live in rich homes and estates have these vaults with these tough security combination and codes, and they're somewhere in that big mansion that they live in. Do you think that's safe too? No, it's not, because someone can physically break in and find a way to access where that money could be. The most obvious places that you think are safe are where thieves will look. I don't care to live in an estate. I even said to my significant other, I would be happy with this home if we could fix it up. Fix this home to have a nice view. I don't want to give up this view. Although you really, it's hard to see much of it when you're down below on ground level. When you're up on the second floor, you could see all of New York City, and at nighttime it's beautiful. So I'm comfortable where I'm living. I don't care to live, quote, in a big fancy home. It's not me. As for a car, well, I have a car. It gets me from point A to point B, but eventually it's going to break down. When I save up enough money, I have to do that at some point, because one day I will need a new set of wheels. That's a necessity right there. Cars do not last forever unless, of course, you're one of those people that meticulously takes care of your car inside and out. And I do. I take it for service when it needs to be serviced. I take care of it. Right now, I got a notice saying that it has another recall, but I'm not going to worry about that now. It's the furthest thing from my mind. The one thing I do want to specify to all of you is this. Going back to, where is your greatest inspiration come from? How do you live life? Well, you're doing it now. I don't understand an education where I will send my children to school so they can get a proper education, but what are they going to get out of it? Nothing. You know why? Everything that you're taught in school, whether it's history, science, math, whatever course you're in, you're not learning anything about what you can take to those classes, those courses, and apply them to the real world. Everything you were taught happened already. History. Everything you learn about history. We're talking about the Civil War. We're talking about the dinosaur age. We're talking about the Bible. Everything happened. You're going to take all of those things that they've taught you in school and you're going to apply it to the real world. It doesn't work that way. If you look at Elon Musk, he says you don't need to have college to make it in this world. What you learn, you got from your parents. Your parents are your greatest teachers. For me, they were my greatest teachers. They taught me everything about life, how to survive, how to give back, how to make things or keep yourself on a budget, how to keep yourself grounded. Don't let those obstacles and crises take you down a notch. Don't let that negativity come into your life and just take over. Another thing I want to bring up here is cancer. When someone asked me this question, and I basically answered in the best way I know how. How did you get through cancer? What kept you going? And you want to know who kept me going? My late mother. If it had not been for my late mother, again, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here talking to all of you. I'm very open about my life. Why? I have nothing to hide. My life was tough. When I had cancer, I was ready to give up. And I hear people talking about this now. They don't know whether they should go the traditional route or if they should go the alternative therapy route. I'm going to be very honest with you because, again, I'm an 18-year survivor. I would rather go the traditional route. Why? There is not enough science or any type of claims or facts based that if I take alternative therapies to treat my cancer, that I'm going to be 100% well. No. You can do a combination of both, but again, traditional is the way to go. I've had chemotherapy, I've had radiation. That tumor that was growing in my body, if I had not taken the traditional route and I decided, oh, I'm going to do alternative, that tumor would have spread to every part of my body. And guess what? If that would have happened, I wouldn't be here talking to all of you. My life would not have been saved. It would have been gone. All of you are afraid of cancer. Anyone who is out there diagnosed, not just with breast cancer, any type of cancer can be treated. If caught early, if you do a self-diagnosis of your own body and you find something, you're your own doctor right there. Go get yourself checked. Don't even think about second guessing it. Oh, it's probably nothing. Don't go in the back of your mind thinking it's nothing when it could be something, and something that if you get it checked early enough, your life will be spared. A lot of people take that approach that, oh, nothing ever bad's going to happen to me and I'm healthy. Even the most healthiest of healthy people get sick. Even the most healthiest healthy of people. When I recovered from my cancer, and this was 18 years ago, okay, diagnosed at the age of 35, I thought my life was over. I thought I was going to die. Never had a chance to live a life, never had a chance to go out there and inspire other people to be the best version of themselves, to go out there and do what they do best. What is your goal in life? What is your biggest dream? What is your ideal? What is your ideal passion? What motivates you? What keeps you from not falling down, from not falling apart? Who keeps you grounded? And you can say, well, my parents and the people that are in my life, and my inner social circle. See, I don't have friends. Do I want friends? I have a hard time opening up to people. Even if I tell someone that I just made friends with my deepest, darkest secrets, I'm always scared that if I get into an argument with them, they will take what I've used and spread it around like gossip. I don't want to do that. So I keep my distance from people. I'll talk to you, I'll have conversation with you, but I don't want to know anything. I don't want you to know anything intimate about me, my personal life, my private life. It's all private. If I feel like I need to talk with someone and you're around, wonderful. If not, I'm not going to go there and pouring my heart out. And then everything that I've told you, God forbid, if we have an argument or a disagreement, you take what I use or what I gave you in confidence and you go out and use it against me. That's one thing I don't want. I think that's very petty, very immature, and very childish for you to do that. You take someone's promise not to tell anyone, and what do? You tell the whole world. And what's worse, the worst thing you can do is go out on social media and trash that person. That's the worst thing you can do. That's why social media, I sometimes wonder, why do people go on there? Oh, to make a living. But you're also talking about people in your life, in your social circle, whether it be your private life or someone that you care about, and you go out there and you make this false lie about them. You make them look bad. And now they can't show their face. Now they got to go out there and defend themselves. Why should I have to defend to any one of you out there who I am? See, when you look at my podcasts, when you hear my podcast, rather, you say to yourself, how did she get started in podcasting? I started late in life. I started in my 50s. I was 50 when I started this podcast, 50. And I was like, oh my God, that's old. No, it's not. You know why? The best times of your life, for anybody who's listening, if you're 30 and above, 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are the best years of your life. And if you don't believe me, ask people who are already now in their 30s, 40s, and beyond. Ask them, and they will tell you. Because when you're in your 20s, you have no clue as to what you want to do. You're in college, I don't know what I want to become, I want to travel, I want to do this and this and this. Now you've done all your traveling and you've done all the things that you said you wanted to do in your 20s. Now it's time for you to really think about what you're going to do from your 30s and on. All of us have a purpose in life. What is that purpose? What do we want to achieve? Who do we want to inspire? Who do we want to teach? See, for me, I teach. I teach all of you what I've learned, what my parents have taught me. I mean, I could have been easily. I could have said to Mom, I don't want to go to school. Can you homeschool me? But they believed in an education. I myself didn't think I had a good education. Why? What was I taught in school that I could apply to the real world? Think about it. Think about that for a second. See, you look at the decades. Every decade is different. What decade did you go to school in? Let's see, I graduated in the 80s, the late 80s, okay? I graduated in the late 80s, and I said to myself, okay, did I learn anything from freshman year all the way through senior year? I don't know. Not really. I really didn't learn much of anything that I could apply to the real world. Because once you graduate, what's your next step? Either you work or you go to college. And I did go to community college and I took courses, but I didn't know what I wanted to become. So I dropped out. It was a bad mistake on my part. I dropped out. Why? I didn't have a clue as to what I wanted to do. I kept changing what I wanted to do. Wasn't satisfied. I said, okay, maybe one day when I get a little bit older, I'll go back. I'll have a firm idea, a principle, a set in my mind what I want to become. But I kept procrastinating. And every time I would get a job and I would go out and work, oh, I'm going to go back to school. I've seen people do it. They go to work during the weekdays, and then in the weekends they have time for going to classes. But how do you find time to study? Some people can do it, some people can't. If you're motivated enough, I don't want to sit in a classroom and be taught how to do things. I want to teach myself. I could self-teach myself how to do certain things. Maybe take some online classes or just, you know, some seminars go to and just find out more. Like me, in the industry that I'm in now, I practically learned how to do things from other people, but I also learned how to do things on my own. Because I watch people. I watch them, I shadow them, I try to get an idea of how they did it. And not saying I copied off of them, but I want to learn. I'm always learning. Learning is a beautiful thing. Learning is such a beautiful platform. Whether you watch someone on social media, you take a class, you take an online class, a seminar, or the best learning is virtually going to that location. You ever want to travel? Travel to every part of the globe to learn about people, to learn about the history, to learn about the custom, the culture, anything that you put your mind to. And then along the way, you meet some people and you become lifelong friends. You know the best thing about international versus domestic? That people can cross over from one country to another. And yeah, I think a lot of people are coming over here to America because, hey, America, you could do so much here. I'm not saying your country where you come from, you can't, but let's be honest here. I've had this conversation in my head, and I was talking about it earlier, and I was trying to form an idea. You know when you go to another country? Now, other people say, oh, don't go there because you're going to run into a lot of corruption, or those people are bad. Those people. Who are those people? Don't they have a name? Give me a group of people that you're calling those people. First of all, we should be at a point in our life now, as we're in the 21st century and beyond, to try to get along with everyone, to try to come to understanding that we're all the same, but we're different. You understand what I'm saying? If you have hatred towards one group, then you're going to have hatred for every group. What does that tell me about you? Well, I don't want to be around someone who, number one, hates other people, number two, is a racist, number three, doesn't have any compassion or human understanding of what it's like. There are people that are poor. In some parts of the world, there are people that are poor. They don't have much of anything. And what they do have, they have to keep it close to them. Because when you have children, think about this. Think about children. Think about the things they don't have versus the things that they want to have. We can help with that. We as a society, we as the whole world can do that. We can do that. But you have to say to yourself, how do I do that? How do I go about doing that? What do I need to do? And let's be honest here. Life in general is never going to get easy, but it's not going to be hard either. What I'm trying to get at with this is, I'm jumping around from one area to another. When you look at my life hasn't been easy. I'm still going through a struggle. But you know what I've been doing right now? And in the process, I think all of you should do this. Meditation. The third eye. Chakras. I actually spoke to texted one of my email contacts. And he said to me, what is that? Watch the video and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Listen to some music. Listen, there's beautiful colors. There's beautiful sounds that you could just take in. When you're having a stressful day, when you're having all of that negative energy that's locked up inside of you and you don't want it to go out, Do yourself a favor and do meditation. It could be any kind of meditation. It could be listening to music or just listening to just sound without any words, sounds. You're putting that inner core of your chakra. Meditation. You know, the healthy heart, the human mind, the vision, the spirit. Now, you're all going to think, oh my God, she's really out there. Let me ask you something. When all of you are facing a mental crisis, or some of you are facing a physical crisis, when you have an illness that you're diagnosed with, in addition to, yeah, I can go out and get myself treated. A doctor will treat me and make me 100% better. You want to know what the best medicine is? That is not even medicine. It's the power of your human voice. Your voice, your touch are healing to a person who's going through pain. When I was going through my cancer and I had a lot of side effects with the chemotherapy, I had so much pain. My mother would sit next to me and she would touch certain areas and it would just be soothing. Her voice was soothing. The power of your voice, a healing touch, is very soothing. No medicine can take the place of that. If you say to me, well, you know, you're telling me that I don't need medicine to treat my illness. No. In addition to getting traditional therapy, your emotions are going all over the place because you have this cancer that's eating in your body. A lot of people say to me, because back then when I didn't hear about meditation. I read about it, but I didn't think, oh, it's not going to help me. You know, it's all this, what is this? It's just, you know, not possible. I will tell you something. I've been listening to meditative music and chants. I've actually have crystals. And even I have this beautiful pyramid that I'm looking at. And it's chakra. It's the third eye. If you can understand meditation, if you can understand music, if you can understand anything that soothes your soul, when you're going through all this, you have this negative energy, release that negative energy and focus on something positive. Go to a mirror and do positive affirmation. Affirmations. Think of that word, affirmation. Go in there with a positive mindset. Say to yourself, when you get up in the morning, I am happy to be alive. When you go to bed at night, say a prayer. Say, if you have someone special in your life, bless them. They're going through an illness, bless them, heal them. The power of your voice, the touch, just the power of touch. When you touch someone, you rub somebody's arm up and down, it's very soothing. I had a lot of pain when I went through my chemotherapy, and I had a lot of bad side effects, and my mother saw me go through the pain. There were times when I could not even sleep. I couldn't focus on anything but trying to get rid of this pain, and she was there to heal me. She was more than a mother to me. She was my nurse. She was my healer. She would tell me stories to kind of, for me to just not even think about the pain. Do you know that cancer, you can fight, you can win the battle against cancer if you don't let that cancer consume your body. Think of cancer as the enemy, a villain in a made-for-TV movie. You have to be the hero for your body. You have to be the hero because you want to get rid of cancer and all the negative energy that it's bringing into your body. Think of it that way. Cancer is negative, but you want to be positive. And the only way you can be positive is if you stand tall, stand strong, fight, fight, fight. Be like a warrior. Be like a warrior. Because you're fighting against a battle, and you will get through that battle. You will climb over that wall. You will get over to the top. Let cancer disappear. Let it go far away. Cancer, I don't want you in my body. I want you out of my body. I want to be healed. I want to live. We have one life to live. How many times have I told all of you that? We have one life to live. How you choose to live your life after you've gotten better is up to you. Where do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself 10, 20, 30 years? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to go? Who do you want to inspire? Who do you want to help? I've been asking that question ever since. And there are things I want to do for other people, but before I can do that, I got to do something for myself because I want to get myself out of the negative. You know, I don't think about all the stuff that's going around me. If I did, again, a health scare. The doctor says, well, you have stress. Now you got to release that stress. How are you going to do it? Meditation. Meditation, the power of positivity. Write down on a piece of paper the things you want in life. How are you going to go about getting them? Now, you're going to climb through many walls, and you're going to go through many obstacles, and you're going through many crises, but you can get through it. Why? You're not going to let those negative emotions come into your body. When you have negative emotions, that's what leads to disease. That's what leads to stress. We don't want to have disease or stress on us because stress does kill. Stress leads to heart attacks and strokes and all kinds of diseases. Cancer is curable if it's caught in time. And you have to go in there with a positive mentality. And if you have family, they will stick by you. And even if you don't have family, you can find someone who's gone through the disease, like myself. Or, again, you have the doctors and nurses. They're not your enemies. They're your friends. They're the ones who are going to heal you, save you from the cancer that is consuming in your body. If you could just imagine what my life would have been like. I imagined it too. I think about, my God, what would have happened if I would have given up? I wouldn't be here talking to all of you, inspiring you, trying to get you to see that life, yeah, can be cruel. Life can be challenging. Life can be hard. It doesn't have to be. You know why? Because you make it that way. You yourself put that fear onto yourself. You yourself make yourself negative. Or you listen, you hang around with negative people. They're giving you negative vibes. Be around someone who gives you positive vibes. Just the word vibes. Let's break it down. V. Voracious. I. Intelligent. B. Brilliant. E. Eternal. Z. Zenith. Zest. There's not many words that begin with Z. I do vibes, not vibes with an S. And you're going to say, you spelled it wrong. I did that on purpose. I might make that into a title. Vibes. But you hear that from a song, too. You know, anything you can do to get rid of that negative energy for good, you will come out on top. You always come out as a winner. I believe in all of you, and I believe that all of you can do it. But you're all going to do it at different stages. You don't all have to compete. There's no competition, no marathon. Everybody seems to think, well, we have to do it when we're at this age. No, there's no age requirements. There's no experience. You do it at your own pace. You do it at any age. And you show everyone who you are. Because, hey, I believe in all of you. I do all of these podcasts to show you what I can and can't do. And I'm still learning new things. The greatest thing about learning is you never stop learning. Even after you're the most experienced or most professional, or you're always constantly learning. And that's a good thing. Let's open up the door to learning. You know, learning is a beautiful thing. Learning about people and about places and nature and all kinds of things. I've always wanted to learn how things are made, how stuff is produced and created. That's why I'm always watching YouTube videos, to get my inspiration from them. So when I go out there and do a video for the first time, you will see me display all my emotions. And hey, I'll maybe take you on a tour of all the places I've been to. That would be a very good channel to start up. But the one thing I'm concerned about now is cancer. Why? Because they're talking about, all the science people and professionals and whatnot, that cancer and any other disease will be literally gone in our lives. 10, 20, 30 years. You never know. Who knows? But when that time comes, again, this is something that we need to look forward to in the future. All the things we are capable of. We're all superheroes, we're all Wonder Women, we're all Supermen, we're everything and everyone to everybody else. We can be inspirators, we can be mentors, we could be anything and everything we want to be in our life. Because you know why? You're all positive, you all have positive vibes. Vibes. Just think of that word, vibes. So I'm going to let all of you go. I want you to remember all of this. Be great, be positive, be strong. Never stop learning. Be yourself, love yourselves. Be the best of what you can be. Thank your parents, who are the two greatest inspirators, two greatest mentors, two greatest people in the world that have taught you everything about life. And what it can offer, and all the possibilities. Anything is possible if you just believe. God bless all of you. Take care.